Speaking of the name of Jesus, 'tis manna to the hungry soul. Did you come in anticipation of finding that having that emptiness, that hunger, or do you have a hunger? And if so, in the faintest way, did you come in anticipation of having it filled? Folk, if you're not careful, if we're not careful, we just get in the routine of serving God. And it is a sad commentary on our state when in great need we cry out and we promise God all these things. If He had just come to our rescue and come to our help and get us out of this, we're going to serve Him. And less than a month, we're back as we were prior to. At best, we are pitiful, pitiful creatures. Yesterday morning, the sun was out. It was shining. You could tell it was going to be a hot day, and the weather forecast was no rain for the next week. I think they may have changed that a little bit now, but I think in 5 to 7 days of dry, hot weather. And I thank the Lord for the shower that He sent our way on Friday. It could have skipped us. I know it was not what you need, but it helped your gardens and your crops. But for the most part, God is passing by this generation with no showers. The summer is almost ended, and we are not saved. Dear ones, bestir yourself, do whatever. That God's rain, heaven's showers, not pass you by and leave you in this dry, barren wilderness. Now only you know how long it's been since there has been some refreshing within your soul. Only you. Daily is your need of God, whether you know that or not, whether you admit it. And daily, God's bread, manna. But He only gives it to a hungry soul. Oh, ye are thirsty, ye that are thirsty. That's the only ones that's got a right. To call upon the Lord. by way of or for salvation. Or divine help. You gotta have a thirst and a hunger within. If you do not, up to this point, God has passed you by. If you would, turn with me this morning to the second book of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5. I want us to read from 17 through 21, but beginning in the middle of that, verse 19, and speak to you concerning reconciled unto God. And I would ask you to labor. You labor in hearing, and I'll spend what energy I've got to labor for you in presenting. Folk, every lesson, every message takes on a different presentation. Some are easier to sit and listen than are others. I don't know how this will be. But give God an honest effort, or give your own heart an honest effort in hearing God this day. Would you pray with me? Our Father, it's almost a consciousness within a realization that every blessing, mercy, grace, your long suffering, your pity as of a father, your cherishing and tender care as of a mother, and your patience were all purchased for us at the expense of your own Son. As we've heard, he was alone. There was no man that could stand with him. He trod the winepress of thy wrath. Without the least support, any support. From another human being. Gracious Lord, we live most of the time as if we were owed this. thinking that we deserve this. And yet the only thing that any of us deserve is an eternal banishment from Thy presence or Thy favor and goodness and mercy. Would You have mercy upon us this day? Would You arrest, awaken, cause an honest searching of our own souls to be honest with self as to whether or not there is any evidence of having been reconciled unto Thee. Lord, none of these things can take place. We will leave as we may have entered. Without any realization of ever having been in Thy presence. And have absolutely no dealings with Thee this day. Oh, would You grant that it might not be so? That You'd bow every heart. That You'd open every eye. And You'd let us all see a suffering Lamb of God standing between us and justice. Lift Him up. Let us leave with a greater desire of dedication and of service. For Christ's name's sake, for Thy honor and Thy glory, give us Thy Spirit in hearing and in preaching. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and having committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, because God has reconciled and God has put us in this place, verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. I'm not speaking in my own name, Paul said, and so should everyone else, if sent of God. I'm not sharing with you my opinions or my demands, for I've got no right to present anything other than what the sovereign of the country that sent me to say. I'm just telling you his message. And his message derives no importance or trustworthiness from him that is the ambassador. It derives its importance and its trustworthiness from the head, be it a king, or a president over a people. I'm telling you what the United States of America is saying to you. If our ambassador is doing what he's supposed to. I am an ambassador, Paul said, because I've been reconciled to God. Now, as though God did beseech you by us, I hope you did not come to hear from what I might have arranged or organized or put down. We pray you in Christ's stead. I'm standing as his representative. So are we all called of God. Christ said, if they hear you, they hear me. And if they do not hear you, they do not hear me. And if they hear you, they hear me. And in hearing me, they hear my Father. I am God's representative on earth. We pray you. I'm in the place of Christ. In his stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him sin for us. He who knew no sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God. If you got anything less than that, hell awaits you. You've got to be as holy as was the Son of God without sin. You say that leaves me out. No, not if you are in him. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now back to verse 19. God was in Christ reconciling the world. You've got to admit one of two things here. If God set about to reconcile the world unto himself. It will be done, or God failed. If the will of God is accomplished, then you gotta say that the world will be reconciled unto Christ. But in saying that, you've got to come to the conclusion that the world here is not speaking of every individual. If it is, God failed. Christ did not accomplish his mission, or the rich man. And many others slipped through the crack. Verse 18. Now what is the world? And all things are of God, who hath reconciled. The world has got to be all of the us. Reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Do not help God here and say that God wants to save all the world, but people won't let him, or the devil hinders God from accomplishing his will. If you excuse God by either of these two things, man won't let him, or the devil is too powerful, then you set the devil and man on equal footing with God as far as power. And you're saying that your will is as powerful as the will of God, and that if you don't let him, God can't do. Now, if you're that powerful, then I wouldn't be coming out to worship. I'd just go be enjoying this day with something else. If you are as powerful as God when it comes to dying, then you can will to be in heaven, and that's where you'll be. If the church of Christ is short 100, or if it's short one individual, because that person made a wrong choice, or the devil hindered them from getting to Christ, then the atonement covered some that God was not able to save. And if that's so, there will be those in hell that Christ died for, but God wasn't able to get them to heaven. Here's the one thing that Moses kept bringing up to God every time God would wipe Israel off the face of the earth or they be defeated as to destroy the whole nation. But he kept saying to God, Lord, if you do that, then the heathen's going to say about you that you brought us out, but you weren't able to get us in. And what's that going to do to thy great name? And we keep putting the will of man or pitting it against the will of God, or this old cliche that sounds good. Christ voted for you, the devil voted against you. You decide the winning vote. If he died to reconcile the world unto God, then bless your dear heart, the world that he died to reconcile will be with him. And if he loses one, then he's not this powerful Christ that the book declares him to be. He's not the Lamb on the throne. He's not the intercessor or the powerful intercessor making intercession for all that he died. Father, I pray not for the world. I pray for those that thou hast given me. Father, of all that you have given me, I have lost none. But not a one of them that I lost. Say Judas Iscariot, but he never was your child. From the very beginning, all the way through Judas' ministry unto death, he never was a child of God. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood, dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till a double L of all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Every last one of them. Everybody I come to reconcile. It'll never lose its power till every last one of them is in glory where they are saved to sin no more. But if there's not an honest effort in your heart to be as holy as is possible and not excuse your sins on the weakness of the flesh, and it is, or your inability to please God, and that's feeble too. But if there's not an honest effort in your heart to be holy, then you cannot at this point claim yourself to be in the ransomed church of God. For those that shall be saved to sin no more are being saved from sin. This salvation thing of you meeting Christ and everything's all right. You are being saved. If you're not being saved, you've not met Christ, and you have no right to claim to be a part of God reconciling the world unto Himself. Now, the word reconcile, it means to change or exchange. At the end of the month, or whenever you pay your bill, you will send a check or have them apply it to your credit card that you owe them. And that company will take from your account the money specified in the check, and they'll take it from you and your account, and they'll put it in their account. The children get in a fuss and an argument over a toy or his piece of pie or her piece of cake was larger than mine, and you step in between those that are at odds with each other to reconcile the difference. Listen, reconciliation is not a work in your heart. We are not the offended party. God was. And if you offend one, reconciliation does not take place in your life. It must take place in the life of the one you have offended, or you'll never be reconciled to them. God's not reconciling you. Christ has stepped in between an offended God and you. So man doesn't make reconciliation with God. He experiences it. It's Christ stepping between a lawbreaker and the judge. It's Christ taking from his account, putting it in your account, and God's looking at your account and saying, I'm satisfied. God shall see the travail of his soul, Christ, when he's paid the last farthing, when he's paid your last debt, then taken from his account that you owe God and placed into your account as though you've made full payment to God for your sins. Because the barrier of sin has always been between a holy God and a guilty man, woman, boy, or girl. Somebody's got to remove it. You don't stand a chance. You can't do it. Be as good as is possible. Work all the good deeds you can. Or pursue holiness to a degree that you have exhausted all your energy, all your heart, and all your mind. It can't reconcile you to God. The pursuit of holiness is a part of you being reconciled to God. But a pursuit of holiness will not reconcile you to God. Somebody has to pay your debt. And if he pays all your debt but one, but one. You'll spend eternity trying to pay God for that. Psalm 5. Hearing is good. But seeing adds too, and you may have to only hear. It is Psalm 5 and verse 5. The foolish. Now, who's a fool according to God's account? He who says in life, he won't admit it in his heart or his mind, but by his way of living, the fool saith there is no God. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all the workers of iniquity. That includes every one of them. Did not we all live as fools for most of our life, as if there was no God? Growing up, did any of you have an interest in serving God? No, you wanted to wait until you had enjoyed life for a season, and your pursuit of happiness, and you intended on serving God later on. But not in your younger days. That's a fool. Live as if you do not have to give an account. As if there is no God. As if one day you can flip a switch and start living for God, where you've lived all your life for self. Thou hatest all the workers of iniquity. That's you. But you don't know my good works. Because I know mine. And those that stand before God and say, we preached in your name. We've cast out devils in your name. We've done many wonderful works in your name. And there's no doubt that they're telling the truth. All Christ says is, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. You can strive to be a good husband, a good mother, a good child, a good church member. But if every bit of what you do is not done to the glory of God, then it is a work of iniquity. So God had to be in Christ, reconciling God, to you. He had to pay to God what you owe God. He had to take from his account and God laid on him the sin of that world he came to reconcile. He bore every sin. He has borne all your iniquities and all your failures. And every time you sat down to eat, that wasn't done to the glory of God, but to satisfy a beastly nature.
Every time you lifted that to your lips to satisfy a thirst and it wasn't done to the glory of God, every time you sat on a church pew and it wasn't done to the glory of God, you opened your Bible, you bent your knee, but it wasn't done to the glory of God, Jesus had to pay for it. Father, I'll do it in their account. I'll do it in their stead. Don't lay on them that sin. Don't lay on them that iniquity. Lay it on me. You've never had one with such love as that for you. And yet he takes second place. In our life. Dear children, of all the experimental truths contained in Scripture, one of, if not the greatest experimental truth written in this book is this one. God is reconciled to you. Do you sit here this morning with that? God is not angry with me. God is not holding me responsible for my sins. God has cleared the account. Christ wrote the check. And God cashed it, put it in my account. Do you have evidence of a reconciled God? Or do you still face a frowning God? Has Christ working reconciliation brought peace? And when you speak to God, do you know the face of a father? Do you? Sad thing, most claim reconciliation without the slightest evidence within their heart. Folks, today you can get a salvation, never know it. Never experience any difference after than prior to obtaining salvation. You can get a salvation that works absolutely no change in your heart. Can a child be born are adopted into your family and never become aware? You know you were accepted in the family you were born in. Now the children will grumble and gripe, you like or love this one more than me. That's just a child's heart that does not know the heart of a parent yet. But you know you were accepted because you had all the provisions
and the benefits that came with belonging to a family. You had clothes that somebody else purchased. You had food that somebody else labored to get. You had the security of a dad set on protecting, watching after. You had the security of parents that took the responsibility to see that you had the things necessary. Now, if that is so in the natural family, do you think God would do less for His family? And you go through life without a sense of belonging, and without the awareness that God's providing you that to eat and drink and wear, and the ability to work. Would God do less than you? Is His heart smaller than the heart of a natural father or natural mother? Then why is it that there is this absence of evidence of belonging to the family of God? You had the love. You had the security. You had all the provision. That a father worked to see that you had. And shall a father in heaven do less? If you belong to that world wherein was reconciled unto Christ, there'll come a day, and all those members of the family of God, of a consciousness within of being a child. There's that within your soul that testifies. Nobody else tells you. There's that in your soul that testifies that the atoning blood of Christ has been applied. And when that's applied, pardon and peace follow. There'll come a day when there is a realization within here that you have been accepted in God's family, because all the children have the Spirit of God sealing them, giving utterance to their Father in heaven, and revealing all that comes with reconciliation. One day, in all that belong to that world, there'll be a cross between you and an angry God. He's angry with the wicked. And from that bloody cross and that disfigured whatever that was hanging there, disfigured body, flows pardon and peace and joy, a sense of forgiveness, a sense of belonging to that you've never belonged to before. And from that bloody cross and that beastly figure there flows the love of God into the children's heart. Not more than flows, I should say, it is shed abroad in the children's heart. You go tell my brethren that I ascend to my God and their God. And I ascend to my Father and their Father,
and all the children will come to the realization Christ ascended. I don't need an Easter story. I don't need a history lesson. A child of God knows of the ascension because of that which flows from the heart of a God that was reconciled. Folk, don't tell me of a salvation invented by man that leaves the sinner without knowing a forgiving God. It's not so. Don't tell me of a salvation that leaves a sinner without the awareness of a reconciled God, of a blessed Redeemer between he and God, of God having saved, but you never have the Spirit revealing these things to you, and there is no work of God making this evident in your soul. Don't include yourself in that number. Unless reconciliation that was made to God is revealed in your heart as part of that, Christ died to reconcile to his Father. Now, if you are reconciled, I did not read verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5. If you are reconciled, then you are in Christ. If you are reconciled, you are a new creature or creation. If you are reconciled, old things pass away. And every day, all things are becoming new. Do you honestly think that God that was reconciled, and that God so loved this world that his Son's life was expendable? And you're not brought into the actual awareness of he gave himself for me. Do you think that the reconciled God who becomes a Father would leave them in a world not taking them away from old things, bringing them into new things, and without giving them any evidence of what he's done? The child hears a strange noise outside. Maybe a burglar. Maybe a wild animal. They don't go out to set things straight. They call on the one that has the ability to see. There's no burglar. Well, in bringing this to a close, the word impute. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. The word impute means to charge with an account, to number or to reckon. And our English word that is derived from this is logic or logical, which means to properly compute, take into account, or reason to a logical conclusion. And you sit down and you write out the bills, and the last one you've got is $125, but your bank account says you've got $100. But you reason out, well, I've made a mistake. I've got the money in there, or I will get the money in there to cover that. And you write that you don't have. You excuse your writing on, I reckon that I got it. I consider that I've got more than what shows. When you do that, you deceive yourself. And if God has not imputed your sins, you come to a logical conclusion in your own heart that the bank account, your bank account, has had deposited in it exactly enough to cover all you owe God. Now you don't have to reason, well, what if this or that? Now, folk, how is it that you are so careful each month to make sure that your checkbook is balanced so that you will not be fined? How is it? You'll trace down every dollar that's missing between what you've got and what the bank shows you have until you get that thing balanced out. So that when you write the check, you're not supposing that you have in the account more than what you got. And how little time. That's a good possibility. We spend more time balancing our checkbook than we do seeing if our account with God is all balanced. I don't want to wait till the judgment to find out God's reconciled. I want to know now. I want to know if the only one that could pay my debt did so. I want to know if I was in that number of the ransomed church of God. You better find out if he paid your debt. Well, he paid everybody's debt. Then God failed because hell is filling up. If God reconciles you, there will be the beginning of a change in your life. And you'll be like that report. When one asked, what those men look like that you killed? He said, they all resemble the child of a king. He said, then you're going to die for killing them. All reconciled begin resembling the child of a king. Reconciliation brings with it conformity to the will of God. And an image of God's Son becomes reflective in our life. To wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Him. Christ was reconciling the heart of God towards you, taking away that wrath and that anger and that coming judgment, and saying, I'll pay their account. Reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their sins, their trespass, so you don't have to pay for a woman. Now, folk, I'm not going spend a lifetime down here for me and not try to not repay, but show my thanks and my appreciation to the great reconciler.